True Blue LA Therapy Session. I am Professor Dr. Birch. With me is Dr. Steven. We're here to take your calls. I should have a more relaxing voice when I say this, right?
Hello. I think so.
Hello and welcome.
Either that or like, that's probably more ASMR, like maybe more down-home folksy like Dr. Phil.
That'll work. Now, I hear your ace pitcher is going down, but that's okay. It's not okay. This is bad. Should we just jump into what everyone's going to want to, well, not, they don't want to hear it, but
right.
They're going to want the discussion. I want you to talk about it at least.
Okay. Shall we?
Clayton sure. Kershaw, he's on in the DL.
Wait, what?
We had this episode last week where like, all right, we have found rock bottom. Maybe it's not going to be, you know, this 40-10 run, but we'll get out from this. It didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, and, like, here's how bad it is. And just before we get into Kershaw for a second, I just want to point out that Hyunjin Ryu, who has pitched the best so far of all the Dodgers pitchers, like, he, like, tore the groin off of his bone. And, like, he's, like, the back page story. Like, he, you know, he's, like, way down on the totem pole of actual of Dodger injuries right now. So it's kind of weird. I just didn't want to forget him. But yeah, so Clayton Kershaw, on the 10 to disable list, there's still a lot of there's a lot of unknown right now. The MR, he went back to, they're in Mexico. They put him on the DL Sunday. He was going to start Tuesday. That didn't happen. When they put him on the DL Sunday, left bicep tendonitis. He throws with his left hand. He went back to LA for an MRI, and the MRI confirmed bicep tendonitis. As of now, that's all we know. Everyone and their mother is speculating, like, hey, the bicep's connected to the shoulder. Like, could be a it's probably a torn labrum. Like, you know, like he's basically Pete Gray at this point. Like, you know, like I don't know. So. We don't really know because Sunday they went home. They sent out the tweet with that new information as they were flying home. Monday's an off day. We won't get to know anything till presumably we get to talk to Kershaw tomorrow, Tuesday at the first game of the homestand. So the one telling thing we don't know exactly how long this is going to be. If it's just biceps tendonitis, it could be a couple weeks. I don't know. You know, the standard move, it's 10-day DL. He hadn't pitched since last Tuesday. So they could have retroactive it up to 3 days. That's if you're one guy's skipping a start, basically. They didn't do that, which tells you he's missing at least 10 days. But I think that's the best possible case scenario. So we really don't know anything at this point except that, it's probably not good. Whatever it is, and it could be a lot of things. Like I said, MRI just showed that now, but you know, things have a way of revealing themselves later. If it could be more serious, and they're just not telling us. I've just come to the point where I'm kind of broken at this point, or just to the point
that's
where
the best word for that,
Or
like a lot of Dodger fans are feeling.
Well, just bet the over, whatever you think whatever you think his time's missed going to be, add 50%. That's probably, you know, right. And that's optimistic at this point. So I don't really know. No one really knows. So we might know more this week, but it might just be the waiting game. We'll still say it's one thing and then we'll wait and then they'll probably wait longer. So we don't know. But it doesn't make anything easier right now, you know?
Sure. And the news came after Dodgers won the first game in Mexico, a series against the Padres, and the scuttlebutt that I saw amongst some fans that I follow on both Twitter and Facebook was sort of optimism. It's the Padres, but things are looking good. You know, we're entering May, that sort of April gloom that's followed the Dodgers the last couple of seasons is over. we're good to go. Rich Hill's coming back, and then this just kind of shook that to the core. And
yeah,
it was what followed was a middling, kind of cruddy series against San Diego of all teams.
Right. It was kind of like the Marlins series where they won the last two games against Arizona to sort of get a little bit of momentum, and they're like, oh yeah, also Friday's game was a no hitter, completely like forgotten now. Like, right? Like Walker Buehler making his third major league start, no big deal, whatever. He's just
six innings. I had completely forgotten just because right? I'm so focused on all the bad stuff.
Yeah, and so like look, they won three straight. They might be able to turn some things around. They're playing the Padres again. Again, the Padres are terrible. And they lost the next two games to the Padres. So, you know, they come home, just say, like, they started the Arizona series 7 back of the Diamondbacks. They're 8 back now. And they play Arizona again this week. Like, it'll be the fourth time. Like Wednesday is their 36th game of the season. And 12 of those will have been against the Diamondbacks. And then that's not even counting. They've also played the Giants 10 times. So, like, what the hell is this season so far? It's super weird.
Well, so Kershaw's hurt. Obviously, that's going to contribute. It hasn't contributed to the Dodgers' woes directly because his first skip start will be on Tuesday. What else have you seen in terms of, you know, there's a Twitter question. I don't know if it was one you highlighted. I'm going to check real quick, but I really liked it. Yeah, I'm going to find this real quick.
Did it involve feasting on the goo inside?
No, I'm searching right now. I thought there was a good phrasing of it. Okay, took a break to find the tweet. It's from Kevin Rogers. He asks, will it get better? Which I love the phrasing of that because it hasn't yet. I don't know, other than outside of injury, the performance on the field hasn't gotten worse, but it has certainly not gotten better since the year started. It's always been this kind of like lose a game, go a more one game under 500-ish every week-ish.
Yeah, like I just think like you could really, you know, point to injuries. Like they haven't had Justin Turner all year. They're basically playing Max Muncy and Kyle Farmer in a platoon at third, and the results have not been good. And so they're getting nothing out of that position. Logan Forsyth was not playing well before he got hurt, and he's been out a while. But I mean, just in general, like even the guys who are healthy have not really played well. Like they're middle of the pack, like in terms of like the majors, like in offense. Yeah, like just about everything. Like their starting pitching has actually been pretty good. Like, look, you could point to like, oh, they don't average a lot of innings. That's a design thing, right? Like, that's not like they're not pitching well. But the problem is now, like, the two guys who are pitching the best, Ryu and Kershaw, are both out. Well, Ryu's out till like after the All-Star break. Kershaw's out TBD. Look, they've done well without Kershaw before. They also had Corey Seager and Justin Turner in those lineups without Kershaw the last couple years when they made those runs. They're certainly better, in my opinion, than 15 and 19, right? They haven't necessarily played better than that, but like just with if forgetting the injuries for a second, like the team that's available and playing now, like that's a much better, that's a above 500 team for sure, and probably like, you know, I don't know. Going forward, at least, like playing like a high 80s, low 90s type talent level, I think, you know, but that's making some assumptions. So it may be a little less than that, but I mean, it's certainly going to get better from that, I believe. But will it be enough, I think, is the question. And I'm sure we'll get into some of those.
Yeah, with Twitter questions, we'll kind of cover that. You and I were talking before we recorded. And you mentioned a pet peeve of yours, and I'm going to ask it because I actually wanted to kind of lean into that a little bit. When the team is this bad and the year feels lost, I think that's the word I've heard a lot of the time when referring to this, feels like already a lost season just because of so much unfortunate and such underperformance, that it's really quick to start immediately thinking, well, next year, kind of let's take the Cubs' old mantra and just look at next year. How can this team get better next year? There's a big free agent class next year, including one hurt, Clayton Kershaw, possibly if he opts out. let's start thinking about how the roster is going to change, how the roster has to change to get better. Is this where your head's at?
No. I mean, like, for one thing, like, I think it's one of those things, right? Like, look, the baseball season's a long season. You kind of drive yourself crazy thinking about all sorts of scenarios and all this. But I think it's distasteful at this point, just given what I've seen in our comment section, in some tweets. It's like you're automatically resigned to, well, clearly sellers now. Like, what can the Dodgers get for Grandal? What can they get for Forsyth? What can they get for the corpse of Ryu when he's back? Because they're all free agents, you know, at the end of the year. But, like, look, just think about this from a, like, realistic standpoint. If the Dodgers were to go into sell mode, like, nobody gets traded till like, July anyway. There's some trades that happen a little before that. But, like, there is a lot more season to play before that decision's even broached, you know, like, or thought about. So, like, just give it a rest, man. Like, there's plenty of time to think about that later. And also, none of those guys are going to fetch anything worth a damn anyway, except maybe Grandal. And that's assuming he doesn't, like, you know, he's in a slump right now. Like, he was great early, but they're playing him too often again, like they do every year. You know, I don't think there's like a savior. I don't think they're going to get Gleyber Torres at, you know, by trading someone this season. I don't like it. I think it's distasteful to, like, you know, think about that. Everyone's, you know, do what you got to do to get through it. But, like, it's just, I don't think now is the time for that, especially when there's, like, still so much season to play still. It's been a terrible start. There's no getting around it, but that doesn't, you know, it's certainly not, nobody is thinking that, like, that matters at this point. So, yeah.
Let's say the Dodgers don't get anyone back from injury. Let's say Justin Turner's rehab takes longer. There's a setback. Let's say Kershaw's out for way longer. Are you confident in that team making the playoffs?
No.
Okay.
I'm not confident in, well,
I agree with you, but I do also sympathize with the point of trying to think. It's almost because there's so much season left that trying to put your weight and investment, emotional investment behind a team that just looks middling. Like, I think it's so easy for us, me especially, to want to see the Dodgers as either buyers or sellers, and this team that's kind of in the middle and might sort of contend for a wild card spot, but not really, is just not exciting.
Right.
And I can sympathize with wanting to get behind something that's exciting, even if that excitement is behind 2019.
Yeah. I just think you have to let it play out more before like thinking about that. Like,
it certainly is the wrong sport if you want instant gratification.
Well, let's say, like, we find out tomorrow, like, hey, I know the MRI showed a biceps tendonitis, but what really happened is, you know, Kershaw's shoulder's hurting, he's out for the year, he has to have surgery. Like, that changes the landscape, obviously. But I still, like, it's foolish to think that they're just going to be like, well, we tried, you know, and then they're just going to be, you know, like, you know, hey, Justin Turner, no need to come back. Let's just get healthy for next year, you know? Like what are they going to do? No. They're still going to, like, you know, they're going to play out the string and you know, maximize what they have. But this is something that's not going to happen until, like, I think you have to wait until, I'll say, like, give it a month. And then see where they're at.
Okay.
Then you can start to seriously think about that kind of stuff.
I think that's wise. Well, do you want to dive into some of these Twitter questions that will kind of, I think, highlight some of the issues we're running into?
Sure. And the Dodgers pitched a no-hitter last week, for God's sake. So weird.
It's
like the fourth biggest story of the week, I think.
Let's hope that's not the height of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the glory days where there was a combined no-hitter in Mexico? That was great.
Yep. Remember when Adam Liberatore struck out Franchi Cordero? Do you remember where you were when that happened?
Well, Sissy has a question. You want to hear it?
Do it.
Although it's early May, it seems like being 8 games back is problematic, especially given how well some of the NL West teams are playing. How difficult will it be for the Dodgers to overcome the deficit? Is history on our side? Similar to what we've been talking about, but what do you think?
Yeah, so this is the point where I would turn to Ron Washington and be like, and he'd say, it's incredibly hard, you know, like, so yeah, 8 games back now. I looked up, you know, so they won the division 5 straight years. They were actually at least 8 games back 3 of those years, so, and later than this. So, look, to say it can't be done, nobody's saying it can't be done. In my opinion, I just think it's likely at this point. So I did some digging, like, so the numbers, 2013, when they had the really terrible start, and I did look back, I think I talked about this last week, where I found the post where I said, declared the season over, and I said, stick a fork in the Dodgers, they're done. And they finally got better, but they were down 9.5 at their worst, and that was in June, June 22nd. The next year, they were down 10 on June 8th. In 2016, they were down 8 on June 26th. And that was when the Giants decided to go from, hey, we have the best record in baseball. Let's see if we could do the worst record for a year and a half. And then that's what happened there. So the worst they've been this year is 9. That was on May 1st. They're 8 games back now. So, you know, they've come back from worse. But, like, let me put it this way. I looked up, so FanGraphs, they have the division as pretty even right now. The Dodgers are 38.5% chance to win. The Diamondbacks 38.9%. So it's a coin flip, basically. Baseball Prospectus has Arizona as 70.6% chance to win, and the Dodgers at 17.1%.
Not coin flip.
Yeah, so like, I don't think I'm that far, but like, I just think it's probably nearer the coin flip for me. But I just think it's more difficult because let's just go back to the preseason predictions. This was in like late February. Pecota had the Dodgers at 99 wins and the Diamondbacks 88. If the Dodgers play as a 99-win team, like going forward for the rest of their games, they're 15-19, they'll end up with 93 wins on the season. So, and if the Diamondbacks play like the 88-win team, they were projected to be, they'll be a 93-win team because they've started so hot.
Sure, but that projection had Corey Seager in it.
And at a full correct. Year I'm trying to best case scenario this. So, and I like, honestly, if you look back, I think the Diamondbacks are better than what they're, like, they've shown, I think, that they're better than what their projection is. So, sure. Like, I don't know. So that's where I sort of hedge. But then same thing for FanGraphs. It's similar. It was 94 wins for the Dodgers, 84 for the Diamondbacks. If you play it out like those two teams going forward, they tie at 89 wins. So it's really close, honestly. And it's certainly not out of the question. They've come back, you know, from further than this before. But it's going to be really, really hard. And I just think, given how well the Diamondbacks have played and just their actual talent level, and just the balance of their team, like, they good defense, really good pitching. That's a tough nut to like come back there, to like,
there's also
crack.
Just like, what is the story where the Dodgers come back? Like, it has to involve Chris Taylor hitting better. It has to involve probably an overachievement from someone else. Probably involves Walker Buehler continuing to pitch pretty darn well and continuing to pitch kind of into the fifth and the sixth inning. But then if even with all of those things happening to overcome the deficit they're already in, you figure, well, and I think in a lot of other seasons, well, maybe we'll get land a big trade. And this just seems like a really hard season to justify doing so, especially when so many of the big trades that they could make are going to go against the sort of track, as you would put it, the luxury threshold trophy that they so badly want to win.
Yes, right.
Which I am okay. I've been fine with them fighting hard for this for a while. I don't want to get you started too hard on that. But point being, I don't see that happening. And so I don't see the story where this happens. I love Chris Taylor. I think he may be my favorite position player on the Dodgers right now. And I really hope that he wasn't a 1-0 one-season hero. But
well, he's hit well for 4 years. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, he's, like, literally been one of the best hitters in baseball, at least, like, since he's become a Dodger. So, like, we'll just look at this. Like, the Dodgers' third baseman right now, as a group, are hitting 185, 274, 311. Yeah.
That's Chris Taylor, right? I'm talking about Chris Taylor.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said
no, 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 no. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
My apologies. Yeah.
I would not call. No. I think you have convinced me. Chris Taylor last year is where Justin Turner was 4 years ago. Hey, is this real? It might not be real. And Justin Turner proved it was. Chris Taylor has not.
Yeah.
And I want very badly Chris Taylor too. I probably said Chris Turner at some point, so I apologize for that. Who's someone? Did you do that?
What?
So one of the beat writers made the same.
Oh, put Chris Turner. Oh, yeah. Maybe they were like, you know, it's they're on a long road trip. You get hours in the hotel room.
It was Justin Turner or
Rush Hour came on, and you're like, hey, I want to. Yeah, so
they're all. But no, you just last get, names are all the same.
Getting back to what you were saying about like what's the story? I did. I think I had just turned around the brain because that was what I was thinking. Just like third baseman. They're hitting 185, 274, 311. Dead last in batting average, dead last in OPS in the majors, 29th in on base, 29th in slugging, super bad, three home runs total in 34 games. So like just getting like league average production from third base would be a huge boon, and Turner's way better than that. So I think that's part of it. Honestly, and people like Chris Taylor, like Yasiel Puig, playing like they should be playing and playing better. Like that's sort of how they do it, I think. Like I said, that's what's sort of frustrating. Cause like, there's no like super easy, like there's no like cavalry, there's no horse riding in. Like Justin Turner's the closest thing they have to that. And even that you're like, all right, we're way better now. But I mean, all right, now you have to actually start showing it on the field. So,
This conversation kind of got me. We're talking about what is real, what is fake. Prior before Kershaw going down, his velocity was a little bit down, and I don't want to get lost in the jungle of thinking too hard about tracking velocity. But if this injury, there's an article that came out, Ranker, I think, somewhere.
Yeah, Ringer, like something about Pete Kershaw, right? Is that the
one? But this was before the injury announcement, right?
Right. And Dodgers Digest, I think Daniel Brim, I think it was either for Dodgers Digest or for The Athletic, wrote about like how Clayton Kershaw's fastball, like the sort of demise of that. And like it's down like a mile and a half, and there's some characteristics on it. So that's why everyone's sort of worried. They're like, oh, well, at least, you know, this will explain it. Like, you know, it's because he has this shoulder thing or whatever. Like, so like, it's not a good thing. It's like, that's the sliver of a silver lining is that, oh, at least now we have an answer for why the velocity was down. But, oh yeah, he has to miss a year because of it or something, you know, like who knows, but that's.
Okay. I just wanted your quick comment on that. Another thing I wanted to go on before we move to the next question. Dodgers rotation. While Kershaw and Ryu are out, what is it?
It does give a little bit of a like a runway, as Dave Roberts and Andrew Friedman like to put it, for Walker Buehler. Like he's very entrenched in the rotation at this point. He's not going to be in it like the rest of the year. There's going to be a point where they have to send him down or just shut him down for a little bit because they're going to cap his innings. But like just for the reasonable future, he's going to be a very important part of the rotation. I think at worst, their third best starter right now. So they're really going to start counting on him. He's definitely a part of it. And then the real question now is that fifth spot. Like Ross Stripling has started. He started two games on the road trip, including Sunday. He was actually sick a little bit, so I think they limited his pitch count anyway. He only pitched four innings, but it was shutout innings, and he was like 68 pitches. They were going to not go on more than like 70 or 75. He's going to pitch against the Reds this week too. They actually had Brock Stewart. They brought him up last week, and he could have started the Monday game in Arizona, but Ross Stripling did. He could have started the Sunday game in Mexico, and Ross Stripling did. So I think Brock Stewart is a viable option to be in the rotation. But he's up right now. He could be like they have to activate Rich Hill tomorrow. So he could be sent down as early as tomorrow. I don't know if that's going to be the case. But like it brings into question, like, man, their pitching depth is super thin right now. Like Dennis Santana's on the 40 man, but there's no way he's getting a start this year unless it's like in that we're in truly in shutdown mode, right? Like, so we're really right now, we're like, at a point where the Dodgers might be like one injury away from like adding Manny Buenuelos to the 40 men and starting him. You know, I'm just, you know, it could be Brock Stewart. I don't know. But like any indication they've had a chance to start him, they have not started him. So I don't know what to make of that, except that he's not a starter at this point for them.
Last question on that, and we'll move on to Twitter. Has the Brandon update on Urias?
He threw, I believe, a little bit last week. I don't know if he's actually – I can't remember if he's thrown off a mound yet. I don't think that's been the case. But honestly, like, yeah, there's no reason to expect him to contribute this year, if we're just being okay. Realistic. He's like after the All-Star break, pipe dream at best. And he's like a guy who's maybe a September bullpen guy for this year, you know, kind of like Buehler was, because that's all that was left.
This language sounds a lot like Bellinger and Puig in previous year. So I'm expecting Urias to call up, be a starter in yes. August, and push the Dodgers over the top.
Like this week, actually, he's going to come back. Yeah. No, I just always bet the over on injuries. That's my new mantra. So I just expect nothing out of him this year, and anything they get will be a bonus.
Dustin Nosler has a question. You want to talk about Dustin real quick?
Oh, yeah. So making a little bit of a few site changes at Tribune LA. Just it's nothing like it's pretty major. We're adding people. But, like, you know, I'm still doing a lot of the writing and managing the site, and Ryan Walton is going to also like help manage the site and probably do a little more writing as well, covering some games, doing other things. But then also Dustin Nosler, who you know from like Dodgers Digest and the Hardball Times and many other places, he's going to write for us about two times a week, I think, and still write at those other places. And he already has written a few pieces. He has another piece coming up tomorrow. We're also, I haven't announced this yet, but if you're listening to the podcast, you know now, Stacey Wheeler also going to write for us a couple times a week. So very happy to do that. We're going to have a lot more
exciting,
interesting like content on the site, and those two are great. I'm just happy to have them aboard and happy to see what they're going to write. So looking forward to it, and I hope you all will too.
Well, he's starting off on the wrong foot by asking this question. I'm not happy.
Really cutting to the chase on this one.
So, yeah, I thought we were going to have a ton of Twitter questions because my phone kept blowing up, but the vast majority of them were replies to this question. If you had to choose only one this offseason, Kershaw or Harper?
Yeah.
So, I mostly am upset at this question because I love Bryce Harper. I want him to be a Dodger very badly, but...
Cutting to the chase, Dustin, is at this point, like right away going for the jugular. I love it. But like, did you actually, I meant to go through, I didn't, cause we got a lot of like actual Twitter responses to that. Mm-hmm. I meant to go look and see, what the count was, but I'm pretty sure it was like, whatever it was whatever to nothing in favor of Harper. I think, just on quickly checking my phone earlier. Look, if, This is what really sucks about this. Like, if it is a choice of just one, it's clearly Bryce Harper. Like, there's no rational explanation that says to sign if you have a choice of just like this. Assumes A, Kershaw is now healthy enough to complete his season and opt out and become a free agent. And then, so now he's on the same market with Bryce Harper, and the Dodgers only have room for one. First of all, if the Dodgers only have room for one, fuck off. That's my theory, because, like, all this, well, we're getting under the salary cap. Because, so, like...
Yeah, my support of the Dodgers' ownership saying we want to reset the tax has been all behind the idea that this is to reset it and that they are willing to go over it. Not like they don't need to be crazy, but be willing to exceed it in the big free agent class next year.
Right. And that's the thing. Like they've earned the benefit of the doubt. They've like in 5 years, the first 5 years, they spent like unprecedented amounts, spent $150 million in luxury tax alone. Like, they've done enough, right? Like to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, look, this is part of the plan. We're, you know, doing this year. But if they just continue to like sort of you know, skimp and save and all this stuff, then they really picked the wrong time to do it. Fans, whatever the ire they have for, you know, the choices they made this season, it's deserved tenfold over if they don't, like, follow through next season with, you know, at least some, let's just say it could be creative. It doesn't have to be, like you say, a big splash. But, but getting back to Dustin's question, I mean, look, Harper's, what, 25? Kershaw's 30 this year. So Kershaw's a pitcher. Pitchers break. It just happens. If we're only choosing one, there's no rational way you could say Kershaw over Harper. That said, I don't know if you could be rational about Kershaw.
You got exactly right to where I was going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, look, the Cardinals, like, they offered a lot of money to Albert Pujols and honestly, like, dodged a bullet from a pure, like, production standpoint, given that he signed with the Angels. He's been, you know, reasonably productive at times, but pretty bad, like, especially with the contract, which still has a lot to go on it. I just think, like, if Kershaw doesn't, like, if they don't extend Kershaw, then that's bad. That's bad news. Like, I guess the one scenario where this is not an issue is if he just doesn't opt out and, like, has two more years, then you could deal with that in 2 years. But, like, if it comes to a point where he walks, like, this winter, that's terrible. Like, and it doesn't, like I said, it's not rational at all. Like, this is his fourth season in 5 years on the DL, his third straight. We don't know how much time he's going to miss this year, but it's been significant, relatively significant in years past.
Just to note, though, in those years where he's missed time, he's either been competitive or been better in WAR than Bryce Harper.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
To get to the stance where I can make a rational argument for it, because I can't.
Yeah.
But I also think
this
that... This
is,
like, the ultimate grass is greener situation, because we're in April, we're in just at the end of April, where Bryce Harper is always, always, always the best hitter in baseball for the first 6-6 swish. And then he is a very good hitter, historically, at least. Again, this is coming from a lover of Bryce Harper who wants him very badly on the Dodgers. But we're in usually peak Bryce Harper territory right after Kershaw gets hurt. So it's a really, like, poignant time to think, oh, if we had this other player, things would be better.
Yeah. I think so too. It's bad. I just think it's one of those, it'll be very interesting if it actually comes to that. I can't envision a scenario where it would.
I think the other thing to consider is that the contracts are going to be, should you would think, be vastly different.
Oh, right.
Kershaw is looking probably more like entering his 30 season somewhere in the 5-6 range, whereas Bryce Harper, if he wanted to, could command something in the crazy Stanton range.
Yeah.
Maybe not as insane, but, like, he could probably get an 8-year deal.
Or, like, the A-Rod deal. A-Rod was that age when he was a free agent. So, like, yeah, he's like, a perfect storm free agent of, like, the perfect age, the perfect production. You know, his contract's going to be weird. Like, it's probably going to be, like, at least 8 years.
With, like, but it's going to have
exactly right. Like, it's going to be, like,
can
super.
Can we get that? Can we get the mid-season opt-out?
Yeah, right. We're going to get to a point where someone has a thing where they get to play for every team in a season. Like, what is it, 1 week per team, and then maybe three teams miss out.
Right, it would be like the David Ortiz goodbye show, where he basically was adored by the opposing. Just do that.
Oh, can you imagine that? Someone who probably, and then the way you work it out, like, a player only plays home games.
Yeah.
But he's like the most traveled player in the league, because he's traveling. He's like switching teams like every week. That'd be amazing. So.
But I guess in one way, because he's a pitcher, because he's older, you're going to be taking more risk with a contract with Kershaw. But if it's going to take a 8-year plus deal to get Harper, you're getting his 33, even if not past that, seasons as well. And he's a hitter, so it's a little bit more reliable, and you're getting more peak season. So it's not the same. I acknowledge that, but it's just different. silly hypotheticals making me think sad things.
Yeah. That was one of those, like, oh, do I have to think about life and death right now? Like,
the count, by the way, was like 12-2 or 12-3 for Harper.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Well, I'm moving on. Matthew has a question. Will the Dodgers move any of their outfielders to clear the logjam there? No.
See, like, maybe. Right now, like, it's sort of a logjam.
Yeah,
it's like we've seen
how we get like two more injuries.
we've seen an actual logjam before, and this is not. I would not classify this as it. What they have now is like Matt can't do it. He's their best hitter at this point, so he's not going anywhere. Yasiel Puig, in theory, coming off the DL Wednesday, he's not going anywhere. But technically does have an option. But basically everyone is like what they sort of strive for in that it's optionable depth. Andrew Toll's still nursing a hamstring injury. He hasn't returned yet to Oklahoma City. He's going to be in the mix too. Like, in theory, yes, they could at some point, deal with someone. But I think that gets to the point where we need to play a little more of the season still and sort out what they have. Alex Verdugo still could get some run here, and maybe play his way into making someone like, let's say, Jock Peterson, for instance, more expendable. So that's probably what the way this sort of happens. But other than that, they can option any of these guys. So, they'll probably just keep them around.
Last question from Twitter before we get some email questions from our friend Craig. Nerdy Dodger at Nerdy Dodger asks, why don't the Dodgers have Kike play shortstop and have CT3 stay in center field? Is it just Kike versus righty, or because we have so many outfielders?
Yeah, this is a good question, because I think it comes down to the best I could figure it is that it's because Taylor is in their minds more of a regular everyday player than Kike is. And I think it's the same reason why career infielder Chris Taylor, who became an outfielder last season, was strangely rarely moved out of center. Like, Dave Roberts, no, he's our center fielder. We want him to stay there. And I think it's part of that, more of a just getting him in a routine, probably, more than anything. So, but when Seager goes down, that's, the big festering wound that you have to treat. So now Chris Taylor is the everyday shortstop. And I think they'd rather have him play one position almost every day than play multiple positions a bunch. So I think that's what the thinking is behind that. And I think with Kike, he's going to be playing a lot of positions. Still, he'll fill in at short sometimes, which he did last week. But also play a lot of outfield, probably at all three positions. So I think that's sort of the reasoning behind it. But it's kind of a guess on my part.
Okay. You ready for the question from Craig?
Yep.
Hi, Eric and Jacob. Happy Monday. Sort of. Here are some questions. Last season, Cody Bellinger hit his 10th home run in the Dodgers' 51st game. Who will be the first Dodger to hit his 10th home run, and what number team game will it be? Kemp and Taylor each have 5, and the Dodgers have played 34 games.
And I'm not looking right now, but I think Bellinger has 4. I still think it'll be Bellinger, because he's sort of a could-get-hot guy. And let's say, so that's 6 home runs, and then 34. He'll go, let's go game 50.
Okay. I'm going to be bearish. Kemp's going to hit it in the 70th.
Oh, man. All right. Yep.
Dark I'm not timeline. Optimistic anymore. Kentucky.
What if it's Justin Turner?
In the 70th game.
Yeah, or the 50th game. That'd be amazing. Yeah.
The Kentucky Derby was held last Saturday. I've always enjoyed watching it, but other than the Triple Crown races, I didn't seek out other horse racing events to watch. Is there some sporting event you two try to watch, even if you don't always have a rooting interest in it?
For me, it's like the tennis Grand Slams. I tend to watch those, and honestly, mostly the final weekend. Usually, I'm not intently following most of these tournaments. They're 2 weeks long, but I do enjoy. Always growing up, I loved watching the finals at Wimbledon and the French Open in the summer and stuff. So that I kind of still do that. Australian Open, it depends if like now it's like if Federer's in it or something, like I'll get up in the middle of the night and watch it or something. Sure. But other than that, like, yeah, that's the, it's kind of the same way with golf majors, although those I probably more intently watch. But yeah, I think for me, the answer is probably the tennis Grand Slams.
I hesitated to aggressively call it a sporting event, but the Indy 500. I'm from, born in Indiana, Colts fan, Pacers fan.
And you just really like milk.
I do, yeah. Especially at the end of a long car race. I don't always
lactose tolerant. Yeah.
I don't always watch it, but if I find myself at home over Memorial Weekend, whereas I would almost never watch another auto racing event, I will watch the 500.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Third question is, Miguel Cabrera has 2,666 career hits and 465 career home runs, and he has signed through 2023, his age 40 season.
Oh, man.
Two-part question. How many career hits and home runs will he end up with, and will Mike Trout end up with more hits and home runs?
Oh, man. Okay, so he's signed for 5 more years after this one.
Mm-hmm.
I will say 3,210 hits.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, 582 home runs.
I'm doing my little math. 538 home runs, 3,280 hits.
All right.
There you go. Question 4. Oh, wait, and there's a bonus question. How many career, and will Mike Trout end up with more hits and home runs?
I think yes to both.
I was looking at the numbers. Miguel Cabrera, he's really good. obviously, but like he had his, like, just quick glance, like his 26th season, let's do 25. His age 25 like season, he had 180 hits. Making sure I got that right. And 188 hits the season before. Both of which are more than Mike Trout had in his 25 and 24 season. The interesting thing about Mike Trout is so much of his value comes from walks, which as far as I care, makes him fine. But in terms of this silly stat conversation, makes maybe not so much. And how we have yet to see how much of his value comes from his legs, which historically is a tool that falls off sooner than sort of everything else. So you could maybe see some of the hits dropping off. Now, that said, so much of his value is also the fact that he's just a perfect baseball player. And so even if he loses a little bit of a tool, he probably compensates in a different tool. So I don't want to get too far ahead there, but I could absolutely see a world where Miggy ends up with more. Now, the flip side of that is Miggy has never been the best conditioned baseball player in the world, although he's gotten a lot better than sort of the end of his time in Florida. So you could see Mike Trout maybe being a better and less hurt player as his career ends, but you can't know. So I'm going to say Miggy ends up with more hits, but we'll see.
I think you're probably right there, actually, but like I'll pick Trout just
because it's hard not to, right? That said, we're talking about two of the absolute all-time greats.
But you look just like on hits alone, right? Like look at Cabrera. So from 2004 to 2016, that included a year where he missed like 40 games on the DL, but like he was kind of an iron man for a lot of that.
Yeah.
But he averaged 187 hits a year for 13 years. Like that's
ridiculous.
Trout has had that once, like in his career. but the one thing you look at, like through age 26, because like you said, Cabrera had 198 hits in his age 26 season. He had 1,220 hits. And Mike Trout is in his age 26. He has 1,082. So he needs about 140 hits more this year, which is certainly possible. But that'll be so they're going to basically be even through like age 26. But like I said, that's a long, hard road to get. It's not the first 1,500 are easy. The last 1,500 are what kill you, you know?
Right.
But yeah, so I don't know. Like you almost always bet on the guy in the clubhouse at this point, like who's sort of posted already. But yeah, it'd be interesting. But you're right, Miguel Cabrera very well could put up a number that's hard for Trout to match. So you're probably going to be more likely to be right than I am.
Next question. I guess we have two more from Craig. Who will be playing center field for the Dodgers on June 30th?
June 30th. I was going to look at the schedule and see if they played like a lefty that day, but no, I'll say, you know what? I'll just say Alex Verdugo.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I will say.
That's more of a shot in the dark than anything.
Jock Peterson. Movie Pass. Would you be an ideal customer for that product? I think it sounds up your alley.
I am a customer. But here's the deal. Like, so, the off season is really my time to shine on movies. Actually, today I should have seen a movie today. I did a bunch of errands though, so I guess technically I still could go tonight, but I didn't see a movie today. So I haven't seen a movie since the baseball season started. That's just sort of the nature of the beast at this point. But the off season is my time to shine for movies, and I like to bunch them together. Sometimes I'll see like two or three in a day. But yeah. So I signed up for MoviePass like in December, and then it was a nightmare getting like the card. Like I didn't get it until March when I was already at spring training, so my off season was over. And I finally got the card in March, and since I've joined, I've seen one movie on MoviePass. So it's still going to pay for itself because it's such a great it's ridiculous really if you think about it. It's like I think it's $10.99 a month now. And they take it in most theaters. I know like the ArcLight, I don't think takes it, but I don't go to the ArcLight. I don't live near one. I'm near like AMC and Edwards, and I'm a member of both like rewards programs. And here's what I don't get. These theaters are willingly part of this. Like you check in for your movie, right? You could see one a day. Mm-hmm. And then you go up to pay and you pay with the MoviePass like debit card, which puts the money into your account on there and it pays for the ticket. But then I'm like, oh, can you put this on my Regal rewards card? And they're like, sure. So like I end up like earning points on their system. Yeah. And they're perfectly okay with it. And it's right out in the open. People know. So I'm not
as
like,
long as
I don't,
they're just trying to get you to buy popcorn.
Oh, well, look, they have, that's why I'm the ideal customer. Cause I will always like almost always like get a drink. Like when I go to the theater, so like they got me hook, line, and sinker no matter what. So, but no, I love it. Like during the off season, I plan to abuse the crap out of that and see a lot of movies. So I'm way behind right now.
You know, a little indie film came out a couple weekends ago, the Infinity War.
I'm probably never going to see that.
I'll make you go. It's fine.
We'll
get pop culture into you.
I meant to see Black Panther, but like I just haven't been able to make it work in my schedule yet. So. Right. Actually, you know, I might be able. There's a chance I might do it like Wednesday because I'm going to a Weird Al concert this week, which is awesome. And no, it's not my first Weird Al concert or my first rodeo. So Wednesday, I'm going out to Palm Springs where I grew up, and he's playing there. And so I guess if I drive out there early enough, I could go see a movie that day and then go see the concert that night. So maybe that's...
You're going to rent Black Panther tonight, watch that, and then go
Wait,
see...
Wait, rent?
Yeah, stream it on world? iTunes or something.
What kind of world do you live in where that's available to rent right now? Amazon, it is already?
Right, isn't it? Hold on. I'm looking
this up. Oh, it is?
I thought
it's still like in theaters.
Is it?
It's still like in theaters, though.
I'm looking this up. Amazon Video.
I kind of want to see
May 8th. May 8th. So in I said tonight. So you have to wait like a couple of hours.
But I want it now. Yeah.
And then you might have to buy it instead of rent it. But you know what? It's worth it. You should do it.
I'll think about it.
Yeah, think about it and then do it.
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
I kind of like to watch the movies on my TV though. So. The Dodgers also played a game on Facebook last week. That was weird. Speaking of not, you know, wanting to watch something on your TV, it was super weird to have to like have a computer screen open watching that. So the production value was great. Like, it was kind of nightmarish. The MLB does a game a week on Facebook. And, like, every week, the first couple weeks, it was like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. So many complaints about it. Like, the stream was great. The picture was, like, crystal clear. All you have to do is hit quiet mode, and you don't get all the stupid comments that, like, come up on Facebook all the time. Like, and so that was easily avoidable. It was, like, actually a pretty good, like, broadcast overall. And there was having to deal with, like, Eric Burns on the broadcast. So, like, take that with a grain of salt. But, like, it was just in terms of, like, an actual – it was a good professional broadcast, I thought. A lot better than I expected. But sorry to go off on a tangent as we're trying to close up here. Okay. Yeah, so – another thing I'll put in the notes. We did talk about it last week. We changed podcast hosts. So, and we are now in iTunes under a new class or new, it's same, it's Truebill LA. It's not the old feed though. I will put the new feed in the notes this week so you can find it. It'll be on the website. Like, if you're listening to this, you found it, or at least found a version of the podcast, but you'll be able to read it or see, go to the link
by yourself. Yeah. And I'm going to go ahead and post probably the month of May's podcasts on the old feed, with the show notes leaking to the new one, and a little pre-recorded warning before the show begins, just letting people know that it's switched. So if you were listening to this and you skipped over my warning to start this thing because you wanted to hear Erica said, I understand. But now hopefully you're listening and you know you got the month of May, and then we're switching over to the new one. And the new one is commercial-free, so you should do it anyways.
And also, whether you like it or not, we're going to put out the next U2 album on our podcast feed. So
we're not doing that.
What? All right. So thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, Gracie.